In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One comment on that hymn we just sang. And those of you who use the large print hymnal would need to refer to the hymnal, the large print bulletin, I mean, because in the hymnal, but not printed in your large print, the hymnal at the bottom of the page on the right side shows the Bible verses the hymn is based on. And this is one hymn where it is particularly helpful to read those verses. It will really help to bring out the meaning of that hymn. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It kind of strikes me that it's rather ironic that here we are at the end of the church year. And in the end of the church year, the emphasis is upon the return of Christ from heaven and all that will accompany that great event, the resurrection of all the dead, the final judgment with its eternal reward and its eternal punishment, and a new heavens and a new earth in which Christ alone rules. It's rather ironic that this message being proclaimed right now is being proclaimed at a time of year when our world is in what is perhaps the time of its greatest self-absorption and self-exaltation. Right now, we are being urged to buy, and buy some more. To get together to not only celebrate, but to indulge, to enjoy ourselves. And to focus on the present, the here and now, not to look to and prepare for the future. That is, unless you're putting something in layaway. We know what our world is driving us toward in these next weeks. What does God want us, his people, to look toward, to prepare for? He tells us very clearly this morning in the prophet Malachi. The day when I make up my treasured possession, God says, when once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. When once more you shall see the distinction. So I guess there was a time when the distinction, the blessedness of God's people was seen. I guess that was when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. But ever since their fall into sin, and with their fall, the fall of all creation, the rule of God in this world, the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, the one who serves God and the one does not serve him, it's not very evident. It's mostly hidden. You know, I can understand the frustration of the people who are quoted by the prophet Malachi. It's vain to serve God, they said. What good does it bring? Evildoers, they not only prosper, they even put God to the test and yet escape. What they complained about hasn't really changed, has it? I mean, think about it. Who are the wealthiest, the most successful people in our world? Who are the most highly regarded and sought after? Is it you? God-fearing Christians? No. It is mostly those who are not. And you wonder, why isn't it us? Why is it, so often athletes who, father children with many different women all over the place? Why is it self-indulgent business leaders or movie stars who, boast of their sexual liaisons, while at the same time calling us who promote things like marital fidelity and sexual purity and living for God and not oneself, we're the ones who are considered mean-spirited, even dangerous? What good does it do to deprive myself or expose myself to rebuke for obeying God? Why bother? Perhaps you haven't said this, but even thinking it is just as much a challenge of God and a rebuke of Him as is saying it. Life in this world, it is not fair. No question of that. But the day is coming. The day is coming when it will be. When our lives will once again be what God created them to be. What He intended from the beginning. When He made all things, including things that are invisible. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, as is said in the book of Colossians. The kingdom of God, His visible kingdom, His visible rule, not just in heaven, but also upon this earth. It is near, Jesus says. It is at hand, so be ready. Don't get caught up and distracted, either by the cares and the injustices of this world, nor by the joys of this life. There are also, thank God, many of those. Don't keep your head down looking at those things. Look up, Christ says. Look up. Your salvation is at hand. His return is near. Jesus is coming again. And this time, it will be in power. Not as He first came 2,000 years ago, quiet and submissive, a servant. This time He will come as a mighty ruler. His enemies and the enemies then of His people, they will be forever under His feet. There will be a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. Those who believe in Him, who serve the Lord Jesus here upon this earth, they will be blessed forever. Whereas those who did not believe or serve Him, they will be condemned. If you're ready for this, if you're eager for this and are looking forward to this, then stop looking around and envying others for their success. Stop being critical of how God is ruling on this earth. For He is ruling. We know that. He is ruling now. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. We know this. And that's why it's especially difficult to see evildoers and those who challenge God succeeding. It just doesn't seem right. How can God allow this
to happen? How can he allow those who believe in his Son, who strive to live in obedience to him, how can he allow them not only to fall, but even to be persecuted? And Jesus says, it will only get worse in the days and years before he returns. He tells us. He readies us. But it still doesn't make it easy to see or to accept. But instead of getting angry, instead of being envious, instead of questioning God and getting upset with him, and after all, who are we to question God? Instead, be like Jesus. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, Scripture says. He shows us what God, whom we cannot see, what he is like. He shows you then what God wants you to be like. As Christ was merciful to sinners, so you and I are to be merciful to others. We are to pray, certainly for ourselves, for strength in the last days, but also to pray for a change of heart for others. You know, when Jesus returns, there will indeed be a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not. He will gather his believers to himself, his treasured possession, Scripture says. But those who in this life and world lived far from him, they will end up truly far away, cast into hell forever. Just think about that. The Lord does not want this for any, which is why he wants us to pray for repentance. God's a merciful and a loving God who created all people. In his love and mercy, he sent his Son to bear the sins of all and to give his life to pay for those sins. He wants no one to be apart from him. This is why our Lord is so merciful and tolerant now. Even now, to unbelievers, he desires that they repent, that they be saved. Because the time of his mercy, it will end. When Christ returns, he says it will be like a trap, snapping shut suddenly, and there will be no escape. Pity those who do not know God, who do not know him through his Son. Pray for them. Be merciful to them. They may at times seem very blessed in this life. It may not seem fair, but it's only short-lived. It's only appearance. What awaits them is truly horrible. Yourselves, look at what you have in Christ. St. Paul says in Colossians 1, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Notice the verbs Paul uses. He writes in the past tense. God has delivered you. It is done. He has transferred you to the kingdom of his Son. It is yours. You live in it now. You have redemption in Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, every single one of them, even those of which you have no knowledge. They're forgiven in Christ. You know, so many people in this world live burdened, thinking that they have to hide their sins and their errors, lest others will see them and look down upon them. lest they be embarrassed and suffer loss. They worry that how they will appear will determine their success, their lives. These worries and fears weigh them down. You do not have that worry. You can admit, you and I, we're sinners. We can admit it. We can even confess our sins because we know they have been laid on Christ. God put them there. He no longer sees them upon you and will never see them on you again. He will always forgive you and receive you into His loving arms. Not only now, but especially when Christ returns. He's your loving Father. He has only your good in mind. The day is coming when that good will be evident to all. When Jesus comes again in glory, He gives us a beautiful image of what that day will be. It will be summer, He says, the time of abundance, the time of blessing, the time of joy. There will be no more envying of others, questioning of God's blessing of them. God will have removed all envy, not only from your heart, but from the hearts of all those He gathers into His kingdom. There will be no discontent. We will all forever be content and happy with God, with one another. Our good God will be ruling for the blessing of us all. And we will be pleased to live under His rule. Look forward to that day. But it is not yet. That time of blessing isn't here. Right now, God is invisible. His rule is a matter of faith, not of sight. But even so, don't let God's hiddenness make you lose sight of the promises and the blessings that are yours in Christ. He is coming. Summer is near. Remember this. Let it fill your heart with joy and with love and with peace. And then let it fill your mouth with words of forgiveness and compassion. And let it fill your hands with works of mercy and of help, all finally to the glory of Him who rules in mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, it passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.